Deutschlandfunk Kultur Konzert.
Das Programm vorgeschlagen hat der Dirigent des Abends, Roderick Cox, und mit ihm will ich jetzt sprechen. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Who is George Walker? I guess he is quite unknown in Europe, but that's a pity, I would say.
Yes, he was one of the first, he's the first African-American composer to win the Pulitzer Prize in music and was the first African-American to graduate the Curtis Institute of Music as well. He passed away, unfortunately, a couple years ago, and this piece that we're going to hear is one of his most famous, and it was written when he was in college and reflects his musical voice after the passing of his grandmother.
How did you put together the pieces of today's program? What was your idea putting together Copland and Walker and in the end Dvorak?
Well, it's quite the eclectic program in a way. We really wanted something that really met the, I think, the moment of the time we're in right now with Corona and the death of George Floyd and racial tensions rising around the world. How do we bring an American voice to the stage with Fanfare for the Common Man, which Copland gets his title from Henry Wallace, FDR's vice president, which said this is the century of the common man. And I thought it was very indicative of the time we're in, that it's going to take the common people, the common man, to come together to defeat and to overcome the what's happening in the world today with the virus and so forth. And Stravinsky, it's even though this piece was written in the 20s, it still has this fresh, contemporary and innovative voice that I really like. And George Walker, like you said, and I think that our audience will hear, this piece is a fantastic, beautiful piece, and it should be played more often. Samuel Barber, his Knoxville Summer of 1915, is one of my favorite pieces written for the voice. And I'm from the South, and this piece really evokes the everyday life of a child in the South, but it comes from James Agee's autobiographical novel, which talks about time before his father passed in 1916. And so, yes, this has the innocence of childhood, but also this sort of dark, turbulent atmosphere underneath that really speaks to the fact that, you know, no one is immortal and that his father will be taken from him one day. And this connects well with Barber because his father was passing at the time when he was writing this piece in the 40s. And so many people have lost loved ones during this awful pandemic. And so I thought many people could relate to this work. And of course, the famous Dvorak String Serenade, which I think is a plus during this time of Corona that orchestras like this and around the world get to play repertoire that's not normally heard in the concert hall, like the famous serenades from Dvorak.
You're based in Berlin. When did you move to Berlin, and what is the situation now for you because of the pandemic? You can't really travel around the world.
Yes.
Where people want you conduct orchestras. Yes. In the whole world.
Well, today, the 21st of August, marks, I think, my two-year anniversary of me moving to Berlin. So this is a special moment that I debut with my first Berlin orchestra on the two-year anniversary of me being here. Yes, it's been hard for us artists, but I think little things like this really gives us hope and motivates us to know that there's a future past all of what's happening in the world in terms of the pandemic. Just to be able to get on the stage, even though it's without the public, to get on the stage and make music together with colleagues, it's really been a fantastic journey. And so, yes, we're not in normal times and we can't do it often and we're all spread out and trying to get used to it. But I think that speaks to the incredible flexibility of this orchestra that they're trying, and they're trying to make music and bring music to Berlin and to the wider public, because it's absolutely a necessary thing to have in people's lives.
What did you experience as an Afro-American conductor, especially in Europe, with European orchestras? And you said once you want to bring more diversity to the classical music scene by enlarging and enriching the repertoire?
Well,
which question? Sorry.
You know, yes, I think that's fine. When I step on stage to make music with musicians, I think not one moment do I think about my color or my race or where I come from. I think that's the beauty of our art form is when we're together, our main goal is to make music together and to produce this great product together. And that's what I love about an orchestra. It's the fact that so many people from different diverse backgrounds can come together. And I think that can be a model for the broader classical music and cultural sectors around the world. But I, you know, with my background and where I come from, obviously I have different, I've grown up with different musical voices. Not only, I love Brahms and Beethoven and Mahler and those people, but, you know, I heard Copland and Barber and Walker, and it's great to be an ambassador, not only for my culture, but for my country, and to share in the culture of this country and the culture of the Czech Republic and so forth, and Russia. And so that's the beauty of music. And I think to continue to do that is what I aim to do. I mean, even to present the Barber and to have Julia Bullock, who I've never worked with before, but is an American singer living in Munich, and for her to come up here, I think there's so many different connectors in this program that I really love. The fact that it could bring us all together. So we have to continue. We have to continue fighting the good fight for the sort of diversity of musical voices. We live in a globalized society now, where the borders or boundaries or lines between countries are more blurred, and so people want to see themselves represented on stage, and they want to feel inclusive in the concert hall and feel that this is not an elitist art form, that it can speak to all of us. And I truly believe that, and that's my goal as an artist, to continue to preach that message as music, as a unifying voice.
Yeah.